Ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Pacific Sound Sound Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm James.
And I'm Travis.
And welcome to Pacific Sound Radio, your go-to source for everything happening in the Vancouver music scene. Last week saw the return of Locals Lounge creator and looping artist Ian Cromwell back into the studio, where we spoke about how he got his start in playing music. We also caught up with psych rock unit Kubla Khan, who are fresh off their latest release titled One of These Days. I think they're playing their album release show on July 13th. As always, you can catch last week's episode on our website at pacificsoundradio.com or on YouTube. Sorry, do you have something to say, Travis?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to back you up there with the Kubla Khan thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen to it in the concert announcements.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, which we will get to. We have a great show lined up for you this week. We've got Rickshaw Theater's owner and general manager, Mo Tar Mohammed, for this week's edition of Pacific Sound Profile. Then we have the hard rock four-piece Redwoods joining us in the studio to chat about their new EP titled Study Night. But first, on to the weekly roundup.
All right, time for the news. Roland set up a new headquarters in Surrey.
So who's Roland?
They are the manufacturer of electric instruments, and they're really popular for their synthesizers and electric drum kits. Based in Japan, but they got like the Canadian headquarters in Toronto and now in Surrey.
Cool stuff.
Because Surrey's cheaper than Vancouver.
Probably. In some respects, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they moved from like a warehouse / office in Richmond to kind of like an office / cool place to hang out in Surrey. Like, switching to more third-party, like, logistics warehouse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yada, yada, yada. Anyway, super cool news. They set up their Inspiration Center in the Coast Capital building right at the King George SkyTrain station.
That's a big building.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, for whatever reason, that Coast Capital...
totally thought just, that would be, like, a Coast Capital-only building.
Yeah, that they'd just have all the headquarters to themselves, but I guess they sublet certain floors or something like that.
Yeah. No, it's a super cool thing. They plan on it being a place where, like, musicians will hang out, and people can try out their stuff.
That's really cool.
Super cool. And there's going to be a one event a week minimum that they've set it up. They're going to be recording video and live streaming, and sounds really cool, and it's a greatly needed thing.
Yeah. Did they kind of give an idea of what sort of weekly event they were doing?
They were talking about, like, a songwriter circle kind of thing. And, they do the thing in Toronto. It's like a drone music kind of synthesizer thing where people like and just add to it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that. I actually might go check that out because that sounds like a fun way to get people into synths, because that's something that I've been thinking about exploring a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a little bit of push to get like Surrey to be like a music hub.
Yeah, they're really trying to develop the downtown area as much as possible and make it just more attractive. I know they're building condos and stuff like that and trying to turn it into, I don't know what the equivalent would be, maybe the Granville Strip sort of area for Surrey.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time, but it's cool to see
that
that Roland's doing stuff like that in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's tough to get like music in Vancouver now, the way the like property values have gone up and stuff. And like leases and...
So, yeah, so if there's a way to kind of expand beyond just Vancouver, that'll be...
And it's still on the SkyTrain line, so...
It is.
It's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in other news, the company that owns venues such as the Biltmore and the Vogue has recently purchased another. The MRG Group announced on Friday that it purchased the Imperial. Earlier this year, the MRG Group also bought Donnelly Events, who puts on Surrey Fusion Fest and... I think Catalano, maybe not.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're expanding.
Yeah, they're getting huge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. And I
guess because Biltmore and the Vogue, you know, they host so many great bands and artists on a local and international scale.
Mm-hmm. I just like that they don't feel like a chain still. Like, even though, like, one big company owns them?
Yeah, even though they're essentially a conglomerate at this point.
Yeah, it's the Donnelly Events, not Donnelly Group.
Not Donnelly Group. There is a difference.
Yeah. No offense to Donnelly Group if you're listening. They're not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the news.
Yeah, it's kind of light this week.
Kind of light, but happy-ish, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's good news.
Yeah.
We need more good news.
Mm-hmm. The Imperial's not closing. It just got bought.
Well, that, it would be insane if the Imperial closed because the Imperial is... I haven't seen enough shows of the Imperial. I've only seen Sloan, but I really want to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not too far from here, right?
They are not.
No.
They're just a few blocks away.
Yeah. Okay, concerts. Don't think there's anything local going on at the Imperial tonight, so...
No, unfortunately.
Can't go to that.
Sunday, so...
But there is a free performance by the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra at Deer Lake Park in Burnaby.
Are they playing anything in particular, or...?
I didn't check. But it's free, good job, so you Travis. Can't really mess that up.
Because I know the VSO are doing that Star Wars thing next week, but...
Yeah.
That's
There's a
research.
Car-free day after party at the Wise Hall tonight with the Burying Ground, the Stagers and Jags, and Three for Silver.
You were at car-free day for a little bit.
Yeah, I checked it out. Saw Color Tongues.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was good. It's like Catalano, just you can walk.
you can walk. Smaller.
Catalano is a great time, though.
Oh, yeah. For any listeners who were at Catalano, we were out there in full force. I was the last one standing as my... as my partners Travis and Jane left due to exhaustion and heat stroke. But we got to catch all sorts of great acts.
Shway was great.
Shway was awesome. We saw, I'll just talk about the ones that Jane and I saw, but we also saw Sleep Gonzalez, Gentle Mind, who we've had on the show, Jasper Sloan Yip, who we're going to talk about a little bit later on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There's one more. Oh, no, there's at least one more local act that I caught, Actors.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
How are they?
They were awesome, as always.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we can have Jason Corbett on the show at some point in the near future. He's like Josh Homme's goth brother.
Yeah. I see his name everywhere for producing, too.
Oh, yeah. So.
Seems like a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Super talented. I bet they were dying because they were all wearing black.
Yeah. Oh, it's the eveninger kind of side of it.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather was interesting yesterday. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it wasn't as blistering as I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And it rained like a few drops, and I was scared, but it didn't.
You should have been scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Wednesday, July 11th, at the Roxy, you have Rumor Mill, The Emilys, and Chris Soule. Thursday, July 12th, Topless Gay Love Techno Party.
Is that the name of the band?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I heard a lot about them a few years ago, and then I think they kind of just...
Do you know what they sound like? Because that kind of reminds me of Mindless Self-Indulgence, but I have no idea if they have a similar sound at all.
It's kind of like indie rock, kind of like smooth...
Are we talking yacht rock here, like Michael McDonald stuff? Or
I'm not good at these word bits, but they sound good. I think they were in the Peak Performance Project like 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. They sound good. They have songs that I like at the Fox Cabaret.
Are they nice?
I've never met them.
Okay.
Yeah. They're
so
at the
jury's
Fox,
out on that.
The Fox Cabaret for their EP release party with guests Galen Allen and the Devours.
Devours are sweet.
Mm-hmm. And then you can head to the Roxy to see Matthew Presidente Band with Beyond Land and Blue Rivera.
I guess I'll take this one. The Rickshaw is having their 9th anniversary party at the Rickshaw.
What? At the Rickshaw?
No way. With performances from Art Deco, Sunbathe, The Intelligence Service, and Cartoon Lizard. I didn't know Cartoon Lizard are an island band. I want them on our show.
They are. Sunbathe is from Portland.
Mm.
But it's still Pacific.
Yep.
Kind of.
We'll get there.
Yes. Kubla Khan, who we had on the show last week, are having their album release show at the Wise Hall with guests Magic Spells, Spesh Pep, and Wrestling Emma. I think the EP's These Are the Days, something like that.
The album's called One of These Days.
One of These. I was close. It was The Days. One of These Days, I'll remember.
I just remember it because it's there's a Foo Fighters song called One of These Days. No, the Foo Fighters song's called These Days. These days, but a lyric goes one of these days.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
You can see Fassbender, Barefoot Mountain, and Mosaic Rhythm, and Landmark 20 at the Railway.
I haven't heard of any of them.
Well, yeah, they're maybe local. They're too cool for you.
Oh, I suppose. Sleepy Gonzalez, just saw yesterday at Catalano, who were awesome. And Late Night Takeaway, another band that I really love. Both these bands we want on our show, if you're listening. Be cool.
Be really
on
cool.
In the fall or something like that. Please call us.
Openings for you guys.
are going to be at the Roxy.
Mm-hmm. Saturday, July 14th, Spendo and the Skins are at the Roxy with Wet Noise and Zen Junkies.
Emily Chambers is at Kilt & Co.
We Found a Lovebird and the Enemy Feathers are at the Railway.
And skipping ahead a little bit here, but if you're looking for something a little different to round out your summer concert schedule...
I am.
Oh, great. We've got you covered.
Fantastic.
So July 28th at the Rickshaw, you can catch Year of the Wolf, Old Soul Rebel, Jasper Sloan, Yip, and The Long War, who are joined forces with Pacific Sound Radio to celebrate our first anniversary as a podcast/radio show. Get your tickets online at Ticketfly.com or at Red Cat Records.
Yeah. What a bill.
I know.
So excited to see all those
bands.
Well,
you know, we just saw The Long War and Jasper Sloan Yip over the past two nights, and we're so excited to have all these bands on the show. It's going to be
so good.
It's going to be a hoot.
Yeah. Our show on July 29th might be a little not so...
It won't
be as energetic as today.
No, we'll...
It'll be good.
Thanks to the good people at...
Yerba Mate.
For the energy drinks that we have available in the mini fridge, we might have a little bit too much energy. Or at least I will.
Mm-hmm. Good for a hangover. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time will tell.
On to our first headliner single. James, yes. You want to take this?
Yeah. So our first headliner single for this episode comes from Small Town Artillery, who featured Tom Van Derzen on the show before.
Such a nice guy.
Very nice guy. Also in the Boom Booms, who are touring right now. Can't wait to see them at Skookum. So Tom Van Derzen and company are back with their first slice of new music since the release of their debut record back in 2016. This is the lead single off of their upcoming sophomore release titled Don't Take Away the Magic, which is set to drop on Jump Attack Records on August 14th. This is I Dare You.
Honey, you drive me to the end of my wits. Honey, you like me to fully commit. Honey, if you'll have me, then I am ready to give. Now I know how it feels to hear another name on your lips. Made me realize I just cannot go on without it. So I'm a matchstick, sulfur, ghetto, Serengeti, heat wave, running hard after the girl in my dreams. Matchstick, sulfur, ghetto, Serengeti, heat wave, running hard after the girl in my dreams. Yeah, fire burned up my fuel in the freeway. Battle for the girl with my heart in the keepsake. Burned up my fuel in the freeway. Battle for the girl with my heart in the keepsake. Yeah, with my heart.
And we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was the latest single from Small Town Artillery titled I Dare You off their upcoming record. Can't remember the name. Their upcoming new record on Jump Attack.
Oh, it's something magic. Don't take away the magic.
Thank you. Don't take away the magic. Our Pacific Sound profile for this week is on Mo Tar Mohammed. Mo is the owner and general manager of the Rickshaw Theater, one of the most well-known music venues in the East Van area, and probably one of the best success stories in the recent history of the Vancouver music scene. The Rickshaw has hosted a massive list of outstanding local, national, and international talent, and will be hosting Pacific Sound Radio's anniversary show on July 28th, featuring You're the Wolf, Old Soul Rebel, Jasper Sloan Yip, and The Long War. Please welcome Mo Tar Mohammed.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Mo. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I guess, starting off, can you give us a brief history of the Rickshaw, and where does the name come from?
A brief history of the Rickshaw. Well, Rickshaw actually was a Chinese kung fu movie theater built around the early 70s. It was part of the Shaw Brothers West Coast flagship. It remained as a movie theater until about the mid-80s, and that's when I guess the kung fu genre was on the decline, and then the Chinese population from Chinatown started migrating to the suburbs, most notably Richmond. And the theater sat vacant for, I'd say, about 20 years, and then got repurposed as a music venue in 2009. And the person who repurposed it in 2009, David Dupree, named it Rickshaw, I guess, just to play on words on the Shaw Theater. And perhaps even maybe because David used to live in San Francisco and there's a venue there called the Rickshaw Stop. So that's just speculation on my part.
Kind of makes sense. I just saw the connection with the fact that it used to be a Chinese movie theater. Are you a kung fu movie fan yourself?
Not particularly, but my wife actually went and did some research, and we were able to get some DVDs off the Shaw Brothers, and we've seen them, and they're actually quite interesting. And we've seen more kung fu movies lately than we ever did while it was in its prime.
Yeah, definitely. The Rio has actually been showing kung fu films, I think, on a monthly basis. Wound up seeing 36 Chambers of Shaolin with some friends, and we're already planning on seeing Five Deadly Venoms.
Yep, classic Shaw Brothers movies.
Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, the Rickshaw opened its doors as a music venue in 2009, but it wasn't until 2011 that you took over as owner and general manager. What was your background in live music and promotion before you got involved with the Rickshaw?
Zero and zero. I'm a music fan. Been going to concerts, live shows in Vancouver for a few decades. And my background actually is I'm a professional accountant, and I just got to a point in my life where I just it was kind of put up or shut up time. I just couldn't stand the corporate life anymore, and I decided, okay, if I'm going to spend the next few decades that I have remaining in on this earth, I should probably do something that I enjoy, and music was in the forefront. And it's just simple as that. I said, okay, I'm going to look into the music industry, and then did some more investigation and decided, okay, I'm going to take a plunge into live music.
I guess when it comes to taking on the Rickshaw, were you able to draw from any of your experience as an accountant, or was there kind of a steep learning curve there?
Well, I suppose, I mean, accountants, they have a bad rep as just being counters, but the fact of the matter is accountants are exposed to a whole bunch of different industries and see how businesses run. So, yes, peripherally, yes, being in the business environment definitely helped me, you know, structure my business the way I've seen successful businesses run. There's no guarantee of that, but, you know, that your business will be successful. But at least I had some structure and framework to work with.
And I guess also knowing financially what not to do as well from...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who sort of get into this, that's just speculation on my part again. But I think people who get into it just kind of go into it as, this would be really cool, and let's see what happens. I partially did that, but also with some, hopefully some pragmatic sense as well, given my background.
For sure. So what were some of the changes that you and your team made to improve the venue when you first started as the operating manager, general manager, I mean?
I'd seen quite a few shows at the Rec Shop before I took it over, before even I had a notion of taking it over. And I really liked the space, but I could tell there were challenges with the sound. And it's just a big concrete box. So one of the things that I wanted to do right away was find ways to improve the sound quality without spending a whole bunch of money. And I surrounded myself with fairly top sound engineers and other people who are familiar with sound reflections and refractions and everything else that goes with it. And they helped me out tremendously in making improvements without investing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. The other thing we did as well was from a programming point of view, Rick Shaw was known as the metal punk capital of Vancouver, which is great. We love punk and metal, and we embrace them. But I did not want to just pigeonhole ourselves as just that one particular genre. So I encouraged other genres of music, bands that might have considered playing the rickshaw, to look at it, and also other events. We have had anything from comedy shows to burlesque to belly dance showcases to urban dance showcases as well. So I just wanted to make it a performance venue as opposed to just, you know, just strictly primarily live music, but open to everyone else.
Yeah, definitely. And from my experience as a concert goer at the Rec Shaw, I've seen the variety of programs really broaden beyond just the metal and punk crowd. What have been some of the most lasting and important lessons that you've learned from running a venue as unique as the Rec Shaw?
Hire really good people. Hire people who are smarter than you are in their field, which I've been very lucky to do. Because, like I said before, my experience in live music and even promotions was next to nothing. And so I surrounded myself with people who are passionate about what they do and do it well.
Good stuff. The Rec Shaw hosts all sorts of bands and all sorts of events. What to you makes for a great show? I imagine there are some core elements that really make for a good night at the Rec Shaw.
It's all experiential. Experience for the bands, experience for the customers, and experience for our staff. We just want to make this a place where the bands feel comfortable. We don't have your stereotypical surly sound guy or indifferent security or bar staff. Everyone that works at the Rec Shaw makes sure that everyone who attends is having a good time. We try and make it as homey as we can. People feel comfortable when they come in. They can be themselves. You know, they don't necessarily have to mind their P's and Q's, in a sense. But experientially is what we go after. Are people having a good time? At the end of the night, when I see people leave the club, the theater, and they've got a smile on their faces, I know that this has been a successful evening.
Good stuff. What do you look for in bands and artists that express interest in playing the Rec Shaw?
We're pretty open to bands playing at the rickshaw. You know, initially when I first started, we opened up the theater to inexperienced and experienced bands. And after a while, the reality sort of set in. If you're an inexperienced band, that's fine. But if you're not going to take the effort to promote your shows and have and bring people out to see your shows, then that's sort of a double negative there.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is we've become a little bit more selective, and bands that are not quite well known, we encourage them to guilt their friends and family to come to shows, because there's nothing worse than playing in front of 20 people or less. And so, you know, while we're open to all different genres and all different bands, you know, whether they be the OCs or someone just out of their garage, just make the effort to bring people to the shows. That's the only way live music is going to survive.
Definitely. And that actually ties into another question I wanted to kind of bring up, was what can bands and artists do to make, you know, the booking and promotion process as smooth as possible for all parties involved?
Well, if you're going to send me a request to play at the rickshaw, A, don't do it on Facebook. Send an email. It's on the website. B, give me a compelling reason why you want to play there and what you're going to do to try and get people out. It's really as simple as that.
Good stuff. Who have been some, or what have been some of your favorite and most memorable rickshaw shows?
There have been quite a few. Before I started, I had a sort of a bucket list of bands that I wanted to have played at the rickshaw, and you know, I've been slowly checking them off. Bands like the OCs, Buzzcocks, Bob Mould. Those are all bands that I've wanted there. There's still quite a few that I haven't quite got there. But those are memorable because it was kind of a wish list of bands. Then there are other bands that have caught me by surprise, which I wasn't very familiar with them. And they were put on by different promoters, bands like Russian Circles. Just kind of was an eye-opener.
Was that the show where they headlined? I think that was a few years ago.
Yeah, the show that they headlined.
I was at that show, and I was also really blown away by them, especially as an instrumental band.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the ones that I find the most rewarding, are the ones that I'm not particularly familiar with. And then I'm usually, when you're running a venue, or when I'm, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but I tend to just be more concerned about how things are running and how everyone's having a good time, and you know, sure, there are failures, but we want to be seamless. We don't want any failures to be out there like an open wound. But when I'm glued to a spot and watching a show, then I know that okay, I'm really captivated and captured by this, and that's one of the bands that did that to me. But there are also other bands, some friends like the Wigs from Athens. Typhoon from Portland, Pickwick from Seattle, bands that I was aware of before the rickshaw, and you know, while they might not have been big at that time, I just corresponded with them, and they came up and played at the rickshaw, and we've had a lasting long-term relationship.
Fantastic. So you mentioned your short list that you've already, or wish list that you've already kind of ticked off. Have you added some new bands and artists to that wish list?
Well, there are still some. How about artists that I haven't quite checked off yet?
That works.
Another band from Portland. Is it Portland or is it San Diego? Called Menomina. I've been trying to get them for a long time. Graham Parker. An old English kind of a Elvis Costello-ish type performer. I mean, I could say Elvis Costello, but that would be an impossibility for Elvis Costello to play at the rickshaw. So I'm tempering my list with who I think could potentially play the rickshaw. The is another English band that I'm a big fan of. Again, I'm not sure if they're too big for the rickshaw or not. Who else? That Pinback is another band.
It's a good list of artists for sure. Want to switch gears a little bit more. I want to talk about kind of the music scene and some future shows that you guys have coming up. This year's seen the closure, unfortunately, of some smaller art spaces and some larger venues like the Cobalt, and we're all aware that the Rio Theater is still fighting for its life to avoid redevelopment. What has the rickshaw done to keep the theater a viable and sustainable business?
Well, let's address venues shutting down, because venues opens and venues close. This is a decades old thing. I was reading a book the other day about all the venues in London, and how many of them have closed over the years, and how many new ones have opened as well. So, I think we sometimes overemphasize venues closing down, because for every venue that closed down, eventually there will be another one that replaces it. So the net gain is, well, the net sum is zero. It'd be great if there were more venues, but there was the Town Pump, Richards and Richards, a whole bunch of other iconic venues in the 70s and 80s when I was growing up. But now we've got the Rickshaw, we've got Imperial, we've got Fortune. So I think sometimes it gets a little, becomes a bit of a misnomer about all these venues closing down. So that, I just wanted to address that. The other thing as well is it tends to be a matter of supply and demand. If there's no great demand for live music, businesses will not be able to survive. So it really depends on people coming out to shows. Because after a while, even though sometimes it feels like a labor of love, there is monetary concerns. And if people are not going to shows, then it'll just eventually happen that venues will shut down. I think another factor into this mix is that Vancouver, as we all know, is becoming extremely expensive to live in, and expensive for businesses to pay their leases and property taxes. So that's another factor that will impact on whether live music, has longevity in the city. So having said all that, we've been very lucky with our landlord. He's very supportive. They still own through various companies by the Shaw brothers, and they've always been a great proponents of the arts. And so our landlord, is keeping our lease rent and our property tax at a level where we can still survive putting on the shows that we do. And again, as I said before, we are providing experience for when music fans do attend shows to have a really good time, and they can take that with them and then know that whenever they see a show advertised the rickshaw, that it'll be a good show. They'll enjoy it and they'll enjoy themselves.
Definitely. I think you partially answered this question, but I feel still want to ask you this. What can local music fans do to support venues in the city?
Attend.
I know it's kind of an obvious
question. I don't know if it's that obvious. Maybe we have to form some sort of a community. Maybe some the things that you guys are doing is just increasing the awareness of live music and the importance of live music. Traditionally, I guess the demographics that have gone to live music shows have been between about 17 to 30, 31. And it's becoming increasingly, as we mentioned earlier, expensive for people to live in the city. So they are pushing out elsewhere. So people my age, I guess, I'm seeing more and more people in their 40s and 50s now going to shows. And we've had bands like Art Deco that's coming up this Friday at the Rickshaw. We've had him twice now open up for once for Midyear, and I can't remember what the other one was. So I'm trying to, when we get named legacy acts like Major of Ultravox.
The Sonics, actually.
The Sonics.
I was quite impressed when I saw that.
That's right, the Sonics. I try and make sure that I bring in a local band to support as support, so that the older fans who are going to go see the Sonics, for example, will get exposed to Fashionism or whoever else that I've had opened up for those bands as well. So I try and want to bring back the older fans as well as mix in with the newer fans.
Well, I was going to say, what's also been cool is to see the resurgence of bands like Slow and Pointed Sticks as well. I imagine that's offered an opportunity to really kind of bridge past and future of Vancouver bands.
Yeah, and we had DOA play on Friday. And
like the 20th time at your place.
Yeah, but this is their 40th anniversary, and we had bands like Catlow, Sore Point, Chief State, a great band from Denver, In the Whale. We had 10 different performers playing that night, and it was a slightly mixed genre, but it also brought in people who were anywhere from 19 to 65 into the theater.
That's a good spread. Yeah, that's important. What do you think makes the Vancouver music scene unique?
That would presuppose that I know music scenes elsewhere.
Fair enough.
But there's a strong community in Vancouver. I see it when we have metal shows. I will see members of Actors, for example, at that show, or even Douse. And it always surprises me and pleasantly surprised that members of bands from a totally different genre, or the opposite end of the spectrums, will come to shows that are not, identified with their own. And I see them interacting with other musicians. I think there's a community developing, whether it's just deliberate or just serendipity, I don't know. But there, I feel like right now Vancouver is on the cusp of being the musical capital of Canada. It's just a matter of whether we realize it, and I guess shows like this hopefully can promote that.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's kind of our whole goal is, as much as we love bands from Toronto, kind of sick of living in their shadow.
No, Vancouver, I mean, there's just so many great bands. We mentioned Actors and Douse and Catlow and Art Deco, along with Black Wizard, Bison still going strong. Such a wealth of talent. We've got Gord Gradina and Kenton Lone, just covering the full spectrum of genres. I think if people just realized what we have in the city, I hope that would incentivize them to come see them live.
Definitely. As you mentioned, there is a strong community focus. What do you think the community could be doing better? Not as a point of criticism, but there's always ways to improve the experience for music fans and musicians in the city.
I don't know. I think there's just so much competing for that entertainment dollar, and people will find the least path of resistance. And I guess what's are you going to stay home, watch Netflix, or are you going to take that effort to get off that couch and go see a live show? I don't know what it'll take to the catalyst to get them off their couch. And the weird thing is, when they do come see a show, and I have a lot of interaction with patrons, and they tell me, I'm so glad I came to this show. It's just like, I'll definitely come see more shows, and I hardly ever see them again. So I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what threshold point where it becomes addictive. And then I see fans who are there almost every show, again, different genres, and they're just so passionate about it. And how do you clone them? Or what is it that they find so compelling about live music that other people don't?
Yeah, and I think it is a matter of personal preference, but we both know that live music can't be recreated in any other fashion. I mean, yeah, you can watch a movie on Netflix or see it in a theater, but This is from my own viewing experience. Sure, it's cool to watch like live music DVDs of like a big band playing at a gigantic stadium, but it's not the same as being in the stadium.
Well, and studies have shown that people who go to live shows have happier lives and live longer. And I'm not just saying this. There was a study that was just done that I read about a couple months ago, which I think I shared on my Facebook post as well. So definitely.
Yeah.
Do you want to be happy? Do you want to live longer?
There's science.
See live music.
There's science backing it. It's been proven. Let's see. You've mentioned a few, but who are some of your favorite local bands and artists?
Those ones that I've mentioned, I thoroughly enjoy them. The Dreadnoughts are always a lot of fun. I'm going to get into trouble because I've become friends with so many of these bands. If I don't mention them or forget them, they'll let me know.
I guess you could do the Oscar speech. It's like anyone else didn't mention.
All these bands are tremendous. I'm going to draw a blank, so I'm going to just sort of. I'll mention Old Soul Rebel because they're good friends, and I think they've got a really good, neat sound.
And they're also playing the rickshaw on July 28th.
They're playing the rickshaw.
Yep. What are some rickshaw shows that you have coming up that you're particularly excited for in the next few months?
Well, I'm really excited about the show this Friday, which is the rickshaw's 9-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And it also coincides with my 7-year anniversary, where we've got the Med Alchemy. The Med Alchemy is Lance Gordon from San Francisco, and he does all the liquid light shows for Desert Days and Levitation Festivals. He's got about 6 or 7 overhead projectors that he uses, and Rickshaw is one of his favorite venues anywhere. And so he'll be doing lights for 4 bands that will be playing that night, headlined by Art Deco, and a band from Portland called Sunbathe. And Sunbathe has a couple of members of Typhoon. And then we have Intelligence Service, a psych band from Vancouver, and Cartoon Lizard, another sort of a psych pop band from Victoria. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. It's the one night where I decide I'm not really going to work. I'm just going to enjoy the show. Midyear is coming up in August. He's become a really good friend as well. If people don't know who Midyear is, he played in Ultravox primarily, but also Thin Lizzy. And he and Bob Geldof were the architect of Band-Aid. Mudhoney, one of my favorite bands, will be playing in September.
As part of Westward Fest, right?
As part of Westward Fest. Really looking forward to it. Metz is also playing at that time. Working on a few shows that hopefully will get announced soon. One that headlined Catalano. Still trying to nail down a rescheduled date for Perubu, one of my all-time favorite bands as well. And then been in conversation with Bob Mould. Hopefully we'll do a full electric set this time around.
Fantastic. That sounds really exciting. I know there's plenty of shows that you just listed off that I know I need to be there for. How can listeners learn more about the rickshaw and the shows that you have coming up?
The best way is just through our website, rickshawtheater.com. And then we've got all the other social media handles, Rickshaw Theater for Facebook, Twitter at Rickshaw Theater, and Instagram, The Rickshaw Theater. And the reason why our Instagram is different than our Facebook or our Twitter is because we were locked out of our Instagram last year, and Instagram does not have customer service, so we were not able to get back on, and we had to recreate a new Instagram profile and lost about 5,000 followers.
Oh, boy. I didn't know that Instagram didn't have any sort of customer service. That's frustrating. But at least you got a new page up and going. Thank you, Mo. This has been really fun.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to hosting our first-year anniversary show at the Rickshaw on July 28th.
Look forward to that. All those bands, other than The Long War, have played at Rickshaw before on quite a few occasions.
Indeed. Thanks again.
Yeah, welcome.
Next up, we have the debut single from Gulf Island's gender-bending glam rocker Art Deco, who will be playing the Rickshaw's 9th anniversary show this upcoming Friday, July 13th. And by the sounds of this cut, he's off to a promising and exciting start as a recording artist. He's been around for a while, but I don't think he's put out that much music, which is a little surprising. With the exception of Jason Corbett, I can't name a local artist that's captured the spirit of Berlin-era Bowie so well. This is Nobody's Home. And we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was the debut single by Art Deco titled Nobody's Home.
What a cool song.
It is a cool song. You can check out Art Deco at the Rickshaw Theater's 9th anniversary show this coming Friday, July 13th. Our featured guests for this episode is the hard rock quartet Redwoods. Hailing from North Vancouver, Redwoods play a muscular and melodic brand of rock drawn from 70s classic and 90s alternative influences. The band just dropped their second EP, Study Night, and is set to open for Aviator Shades at the Roxy Cabaret on July 28th. Before we get into the interview, we're going to play a track off their latest EP, which is titled Tidal Wave. We're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was a cut from our featured guest's latest EP, Study Night, titled Tidal Wave. We have Redwoods live in the studio. Before we get into the interview, let's do a quick intro. What's your name and what do you play?
So my name is Devin. I do lead vocals and guitar.
And my name is Chad, background vocals and bass.
And my name's Adam, and I play drums, and I'm background vocals as well, I guess. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. How did Redwoods come together?
I guess in high school, we kind of just started jamming, just started playing covers and stuff. And then we just kept jamming and started playing our own songs and writing our own songs. And, yeah, just kind of kept with it.
So has it been the same lineup since high school, or...?
No, we had a different bass player. But other than that, we got Chad probably... I guess like 4 years ago now.
Yeah, so the band's been going for 6 years, I guess, and
yeah.
I've been in the band for about four now.
Good stuff. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it's kind of an anomaly hearing high school bands sticking together, let alone through high school, even after high school.
Yeah.
What do you say has kept you guys together?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely get into our arguments and things, but I don't know. I guess, like, we're all just really good friends outside of the band as well. Like, we all hang out and stuff all the time, so I guess just we kind of all just really love music, so we've been pretty lucky, I guess, but yeah.
How'd you guys all meet? Like, did you take music classes together, or was it just random high school courses?
Just, yeah, mainly through high school. The other, like, Chad, Adam, and Aiden.
Yeah, I met Chad in, like, elementary school in, like, grade two, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
It's been a ride, you know, it's been cool, so. Just, I don't know, I met Devin in, like, grade eight, and we were playing music together, like, sort of off and on, and I don't know, we just took it a little more seriously, and then I always knew, because Aiden, the guitarist, unfortunately, he can't be with us tonight. He was another person I've known since about grade four, and I always knew he played the guitar, and so kind of brought him in, and we had a friend, Allie, who played the bass, so it just kind of, like, flowed together in grade 12, and then carried it out and got Chad, and just, yeah, we all have a common goal of wanting to just make good music, so, yeah.
For sure. This is the last high school question, I promise. Do you guys ever have the opportunity to, like, really showcase your stuff, like, at any sort of, like, talent show or anything like that, or?
Yeah, that's what it was. There was, like, a talent show at our high school, and that's kind of, we're like, yeah, why don't we just play this? Like, I feel like we could do it, but. Yeah.
I wasn't in the band at this time, but they covered a Rage Against the Machine song, and we were in, like, grade 11, 12, and Devin was, like, swearing and shit, and the principal got really mad at us, actually. It's pretty funny.
Was it Killing in the Name of?
It was.
Of course it was.
Yeah. And everybody loved it, but the principal didn't like it so much. But
because you can't really play a clean version of that song.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It wouldn't be the same.
What bands and artists have helped shape the Redwood sound?
I'd say, like, a lot of the 90s kind of, like, almost Seattle grunge kind of phase, like Foo Fighters, Nirvana, that kind of stuff, I guess. And then, like, Big Wreck, too, kind of more modern thing.
Big Wreck's huge on me and Devin, especially. Mm-hmm.
I think Jimi Hendrix definitely.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz, too, like, I mean.
Like, Led Zeppelin, too. Like, there's been all these crazy bands from before. I'm not sure, like, I'm kind of blanking on the names, but. You know, like, I just feel like the whole kind of uprise of rock has been, like, you know, we've loved rock, and we just love, like, kind of every sort of little part of it, so we just wanted to make, like, our own sort of rock sound, and stay true to the rock itself, you know, like, not, you know, turn it into something that we don't want to sound like, you know what I mean? We just want to be rock. We love that shit, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. Kind of on that. I think you might have partially answered that, but what would you say sets you guys apart from other rock bands in Vancouver?
This dude's voice, for sure, as a starter. I think.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. His voice kind of adds, like, a bit of a soul aspect to the rock. Like, our music is straight ahead rock, but I think Devin's vocals add a lot of emotion and kind of a soulful feel to it, which kind of makes us a little more unique than your average rock band. Mm. Yeah,
and that too, and just we also, like, each of us individually have such, like, a diverse group of, like, different kind of musical influences. Like, our guitarist is super into metal, and then, like, me vocally, I was really inspired by, like, Stevie Wonder and, like, you know, a lot of R&B people. So I guess just, like, all of our different influences kind of separates us too and makes us really unique.
For sure. Let's see here. In general, this is kind of a broad question, and you guys haven't been around that long, but you've been around since high school at the very least. Actually, yeah. I had, before I get to the bigger question, I had a smaller question. Have you guys stuck with the same name since originally forming?
No. We were initially the Flying Fishmongers.
Ooh.
So, yeah. And that was pretty much the response we got whenever we told people our name. So, swapped to Redwoods a couple years ago.
I mean, better off than the Rainbow Butt Monkeys, which was
Finger 11, right?
Yeah, that's
so funny.
That's one of my favorite stories of a band with, like, an initially absolutely terrible band name.
Yeah.
I think Green Day used to be called Sweet Children. I'm not sure which one's an improvement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess with the name itself, redwoods. I mean, it's a type of tree. It's a pretty famous forest in California.
It just added a little more. I don't know. Like, we kind of grew. We grew from the flying fishmongers to redwoods. It was more. Just seemed more.
We just wanted something more concise.
Yeah.
And just shorter and simple and kind of organic, I guess.
It's all good. Any connection, I guess, to the fact that you guys are all from North Van?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, kind of all the forests around definitely played a part in the name and kind of plays into where we're from. And, it took a while to think of a new name for sure. We bounced back ideas for months. But, it was simple, to the point, approachable. And, we just went with it, and here we are.
And a one-word band name is always the most effective, I find.
Totally. Yeah, that was our thought process on it.
In general, what are some of your goals as a band?
I think we want to plan a big scale tour. We want to get to the States eventually. We've played lots of shows in Kamloops and Kelowna and stuff like that, but we want to tour across Canada for sure. And we're planning something for at least the fall or next spring. So I think touring is big for us right now.
Yeah, we want to put out a full album as well. Kind of been doing the EP thing, but it'd be cool to really just get a whole album that's like got continuity to it and just really represents us. And just really building our following is kind of always the goal, I guess. But yeah,
good stuff. Kind of talking about building your following and some of the things that you've done of note in your most recent history. You guys were finalists in the Best of Vancouver 2016 competition. What was your experience like participating in a battle of the bands? Because I know some bands do it, but not as often as you would think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like, battle of the bands is a bit glorified, I think, personally. Like, it's fun, but I don't know. I think a battle of the bands isn't necessarily always representative of, I think it should be about just a bunch of bands playing music together. It shouldn't be about singling out bands and, like, who's better. And there's always kind of, there's judges at these things, and it's, I don't know, it was a good experience for sure. But,
It's like you almost kind of feel guilty when you, like, beat someone, because, like, you can also, like, really think their music is really good and really like it. And, it doesn't really mean that we're better than them or anything, but,
Not exactly, like, Battle of the Bands, I don't think, is exactly, like, community-based. I think building a community is just getting bands together and playing music and not worrying about winning anything.
But it was a good experience for us, because it really pushed us to, like, be the best that we can be, so I guess it kind of helped us in that way.
Yeah, overall, though, it was a good experience, for sure.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on something there that, I guess part of the challenge is that when you have a judging panel for a competition, it makes more sense if the competition is, say, like a sporting event where, this team got more points than the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like even, I don't know, figure skating or whatever. I'm pulling sports examples out of my head, but my, bottom line, music isn't sports. It's kind of hard to be, I got to objectively judge a subjective subject.
Totally. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's so subjective. And I think I'm just gonna say it again, but it's just it's a beautiful thing just getting bands together and playing music and not really kind of worrying about the winner, because there's no winner in music. That's not what it's about.
Definitely. And really the with any sort of show, and this is a bad habit I have observed some bands do, is thinking it's a competition, even if it's a regular show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, we're better than that band.
Totally, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, it's like, so many bands are, they're so competitive these days, they don't want to support other bands, and that's what we're kind of trying to do. We're kind of just going out to any show we can get out to and supporting other bands so they come to our shows and just building the whole scene itself, because that's how everybody's going to win, wink, wink, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into talking about the EP, we'd love to hear a live song from you guys, ideally from the EP.
Sure.
All right.
Let's do it. What do you want to do first?
Tidal Wave first.
Tidal Wave.
Oh, we'll get to hear the acoustic version after playing the studio version.
It'd be a bit quieter, but...
All right, this is Redwoods live in the studio with Tidal Wave.
Into your eyes, it's time to start your life. So don't look so surprised now. I'm the moonlight, I give a reason to be up all night. Whether we love or fight, the beat's being born out of my mind. I'm a tidal wave. Away out of this rusty cage, find my own way to put this broken life behind me. I feel lost again. Was it worth it in the end? It's more than you can spend when the good times are priceless. I'm a tidal wave.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys.
That was a first.
Yeah. That was, we have Redwoods live in the studio. That was a live acoustic rendition of Redwoods. I have to ask, Devin, were you whistling the guitar solo?
I was, yeah. As we mentioned earlier, we normally have another guitarist, but just had a surgery recently, so I couldn't be here, so, yeah, just kind of improvised.
Oh, that's cool. I can't say I've actually heard that before. Whistle guitar solo, that's sweet.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's see here. So, you just released your second EP, Study Night. What was the writing and recording process like for that release?
I guess the songs, we kind of had the songs for a while, but I guess to recap also that competition that we did, the Best in Vancouver, actually won like a free song recording with Tommy Mack. So, yeah, we actually did a song with him, and then we did two other ones with him. And
what's Tommy Mack worked on, just for listeners who aren't familiar with?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Tommy Mack from Headley. So, yeah, he's done, like, he produces a couple other local bands and stuff, and kind of up-and-coming bands. And, yeah, with him it was, like I said, we already had the songs, but he just kind of helped us make them a little bit more concise and just, you know, shorter and just, yeah, just really, like, put more emphasis on certain areas of the songs and stuff. And definitely learned a lot.
Yeah, that the idea for those songs was kind of like radio. We definitely like cut them down a bit for those particular recordings. Yeah, the idea is to still get them on onto radio if possible. We're working on that as of now. But yeah, we kind of wanted to just release like a summer sort of EP. All the vibes in those songs are kind of geared towards summer, and summer living, drinking, and having a good time, mm-hmm. being an individual.
So I guess the title's a play on words then, eh?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So did where did you record all these songs? And did Tommy have a hand in everything, the engineering, mastering, and producing, or did you work with some other people as well?
We worked with other people. Carl DeCare, he was our sound engineer. He's really well known in Vancouver. He worked on the latest Big Wreck record.
Ooh.
What's it called? I can't remember the name. I'm blanking on it. But the newest Big Wreck record, he did sound on that, and he did all the sound engineering on our latest EP. I'm not sure who he got to master it. Tommy didn't master it. He just produced. But he got another outside guy to do the mastering as well. But yeah, we recorded it out at his studio in Langley, the Beat Lab. It's pretty much at his house. Pretty sick spot.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was a recording facility out in that neck of the woods. But then again, I guess I'll do a bit of a name drop here. If you guys are ever looking for a jam space in Langley, there's a great spot that band I play in practices at called Mystic Rhythms off of Long Bypass nearby Willowbrook Mall. It's and this is just this is me being biased, and this is me speaking from personal experience, but Mystic Rhythms is the best facility I've ever practiced in. So
nice.
You guys are looking for something over the bridge,
cool,
or somewhere over the bridge to practice, that's the place to go.
What's your band called?
My band's called Impurities.
Cool.
Yeah, we're like alternative rock.
Nice, man.
We'll talk about it a little bit more after the show.
Yeah, but fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Where was I? Oh, I guess when it came to recording the EP, did you run into any challenges or roadblocks that you guys had to overcome and work around?
when we went into the studio with Tommy, as a producer, his job was to kind of cut the songs down to a way that he would feel we would be most successful in getting them onto radio. There's obviously some disagreements and kind of back and forth over the songs and stuff like that. For us, we kind of, before we went into the studio, we just wrote the songs how we thought they sounded. And it was easier before we went into the studio because you didn't have somebody else looking at the songs and, suggesting things. But, they turned out good, I think.
By and large, would you say that the material's improved thanks to a third party's perspective?
Yes, if you're trying to get the songs on the radio, yes, because there's certain guidelines that you have to follow. Some of the changes, I didn't necessarily agree with, but you kind of just have to go ahead with it sometimes. That's just music. It's kind of a fine line. I like the changes, but I like the old songs too. But it's good to just have an outside voice in mind looking into the songs and suggesting things, because you never know how they're going to turn out. But overall, I like how they sound now.
And when it comes to that whole process, did you have any opportunities to experiment or try out some new ideas while working on the EP? Obviously, as you mentioned, you were really kind of tailoring these songs to be as radio-friendly as possible.
Yeah, there was definitely, there's a lot of, kind of last-minute additions to, what if we did a quick little guitar lick here, things like that, or like an extra drum fill, or I know you guys kind of swap your bass parts around too every now and then, so yeah, there's like sort of little last minute things that we kind of threw in, but yeah.
And just a general question, since we're on the topic of writing and recording and all that fun stuff, what's the songwriting process for you guys? Does it change from song to song? Has it kind of evolved as the band's gone along?
Well, the general thing, like, we usually will always have the music down first, and then I'll have kind of like a vocal melody in mind, and then lyrics usually come last, just sort of based on what emotions the song provokes. But it'll usually start with like a guitar riff or like a bass line or something like that, and then we just kind of all just sort of fill in like from there, I guess.
Yeah, it's always evolving. We don't have any like strict guidelines how we write songs. It's just somebody will come to the table with something. Then it's just kind of like a melting pot. We just throw ideas in there and stir it up and see what happens. But yeah, vocals is usually last. That's kind of always something that we do.
And have you had any of your songs like really radically change over the course of writing to recording and releasing them?
Kinda. I don't know. Nothing. What are you thinking of?
Nothing but trouble.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. For nothing but trouble. If you listen to the song, it goes like nothing but trouble with the drunk cat boys. Da na 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 na. That used to be the chorus, but when we went into the studio with Tommy, we actually kind of made that a pre-chorus, and we pretty much added a chorus. If you listen to the song, you can hear it. But,
we made the chorus. It was just like Tommy said that there needed to be something after that, that the chorus that we had was a pre-chorus. So, like,
yeah,
we came up with another thing to play, and he actually ended up liking it, which was cool.
Yeah. I think, yeah, Nothing But Trouble kind of changed quite a bit, for sure. And that's the song we have a music video out for right now. You should check it out if you get the chance.
On YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go drop a like, subscribe, you know, the whole thing.
Share,
share it.
Please share it. What was I going to say here? Where was I? As you mentioned, you worked with Tommy Mac for the EP. Who's on your short list for producers that you'd want to work with for a full album? Because I know that's one of your plans for the future.
Garth Richardson.
Can you afford him?
Yeah, we were actually doing some work with him already.
Over
on Gibson's at Farm Studios. The plan is to do an album with him. We're working on a grant right now from Amplify BC. That'd be really rad to get that, because it would help out a lot. Because, yeah, it's definitely not cheap. But, it was really awesome. We got 4 days in the studio with him. Pretty much done 4 songs, so we're already in the works with an album. You'll be hearing some more music in the next 6 months to a year.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
What can fans expect from the new material?
I think we're kind of going away from the radio-friendly vibe, I'd say.
Yeah, we're. I think we're really starting to understand like what we're good at now, and we're really. I guess, I don't know, it's really evolving, so I guess just a more accurate representation of ourselves, I guess, people could expect.
It's going to be a bit more raw, I think. We're kind of, like, the songs we've written so far for this, they've been kind of more hard rock, just big, big rock tunes, is what we're going for.
So kind of in the Big Wreck sort of vein?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Kind of that, like, maybe American rock.
A little harder than Big Wreck.
Yeah.
Like, are we talking Chevelle here, or...?
Nah.
It's got a 70s vibe to it.
It's very 70s, some of the stuff to it.
It's like, yeah, I don't want to, like, drop bombs, but, like...
I don't want to drop bombs on it, but, like, yeah, it's got a 70s vibe to it. I'm not going to say any names or anything, but, yeah, it sounds good, I think. Sounds a lot better than our stuff that we were doing before. It's just because I feel like we're just more of a rock band than a pop rock band, so... Mm-hmm. It's more just to home, closer to home.
I mean, at the same time, though, listening to your latest EP, it doesn't sound too dissimilar from your previous material. It still sounds like you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's great production, and it's like it sounds good, and I got no problem with it.
It's just polished.
The vibe
very,
I was getting
very
was just
polished
different.
Vibe. Mm-hmm. We're going to go a little more raw, I think, for our next release.
And what's your experience been like working with Garth so far? Because, again, he's, like, you know, one of the superstar producers in the city, and he's got worked with a lot of big names, Melvins, Rage Against the Machine, Biffy Clyro, who's one of my favorite hard rock bands.
Yeah, it was really awesome. I mean, he kind of like, he's definitely not as picky as Tommy was with the songs. He's kind of more along the lines of letting us kind of choose what we want to do with our music. He wants it to sound as awesome as possible, but he's kind of more easygoing in that sense. He's a really awesome guy. Really just loves recording rock music, and yeah, he wants us to sound like Redwoods, you know? So it makes it a lot easier.
So I guess I'm just trying to capture a perspective on the approach. Is it more just offering general guidance in terms of just recording the material, or what's his general approach when you're working on a song in the studio with him?
Well, like, he'll definitely, like, make, like, as a producer, he'll make suggestions just like Tommy would, but it's, like, there's not as much of, like, a firm kind of line, like, something has to be played this way. He offers his suggestions, and if we agree or disagree, and then we kind of work together to figure it out. But, yeah, he's just pretty easygoing, and if he likes how something sounds, he's down with it.
Yeah, he's really into just making it, like, rocky, because we told him right off the bat, like, we wanted to make it sound huge and just, like, rocking. So he just, like, he knows if you tell him what it wants to sound like, and he kind of just knows, you know, he'll know when something's needed and when something's not, and, like, what you should do here. And, like, if you don't want to do that, then come up with something close to what that is, just because, you know, he's just kind of got that ear. He's got a knack for it. It's pretty cool. It's really cool working with him in the studio.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this is a broad question. I'd love to hear all your guys' perspective on this. I've been waiting to bring this one up. What is your take on the state of rock, especially hard rock, in 2018? The year of 2018.
I think current year. In Vancouver, it's like the in-between. It's like my take on it is it's either metal or it's like EDM. The in-between in rock is kind of tough right now. It's
it would be more fair to say metal or indie.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a way better representation, actually. Yeah, because we're not metal, and we're not indie rock either. I think the scene, the kind of in between rock scene that I'm talking about, is growing, but it's a little awkward right now.
I think it's kind of hard to do. I mean, when you pick up a guitar and drums and bass, it's kind of hard at this point to do something that no one's really ever heard before. So it's all kind of, I guess what people are doing is taking things from sort of different genres and blending that and kind of creating new genres. I guess that's kind of what it's like now. It's all kind of vague, and just kind of, you're kind of hearing bits and pieces from like multiple different areas of rock.
I don't know. I just think that the scene is kind of getting, like, in some cases, you'd look at it kind of soft, just because some of the songs that are getting played, I personally wouldn't say that they were rock, but then there's, like, a lot of other songs that you hear, and it's just like, oh, that's a new rockin' tune. It's got kind of a new vibe to it, but it's still got that rock vibe, so it's hard to say, you know? It's just kind of, it's always evolving, even though it's already been evolving for, like, 60 years, you know? It keeps, you know, you find new things, and yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the perspectives I've kind of had is that because more people are listening to more genres of music, rock has kind of really kind of branched out, like some sort of octopus,
yeah,
in a way. And you got the subgenres have piled up and piled up.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know, this is kind of a black or white perspective on it. Has it diluted any of the spirit, or is it just the flavors changed of, you know, rock as a philosophy, as it were? Man, all these metaphors, octopus, philosophical octopi.
Yeah. I think it's exciting. I think it's just the way you look at it. I think it's just the flavor is changing.
I think it's a bit diluted, though.
It is a bit diluted, but I mean,
it's not like back in the 60s or, you know, early 70s.
But that's when it was,
that was the peak, though.
Well, that was when it was, okay, well, let's take blues music and make it really loud.
Yeah,
exactly. No, yeah, totally.
Because you kind of just got to go look back and see, search for things that people forgot. you know, because there's always like a new song waiting to be created that has a fresh sound. And yeah, like Devin said, it's kind of tough to be completely individualistic with your music these days, but you kind of got to be a bit familiar, but there's always ways to be fresh with anything you do if you're passionate and emotional with it.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, as I mentioned, because of the Garth connection, there's bands like Biffy Clyro, who admittedly they've been around since the late 90s, but they're one of those bands that are contemporary, and I'm like, well, they're really kind of carrying the torch. Now they're not the only one, but they're one of the ones that really spring to my mind in terms of being just like a straight ahead hard rock band with an established sound, but you know, they're really good at what they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, people always recognize if you're good at what you do, like you just said, and if you're serious about it and you're passionate about it, and people recognize that, and there's always going to be a want for that in music, no matter if it's kind of like familiar sounding or not. There's always going to be a want for any type of music, whether it's popular or not. But yeah, I don't know. I think we're heading in the right direction. I think rock music's never going to die. Yeah, we're just trying to make music that we love to make. And yeah, take a listen. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't, you don't.
Speaking of which, we'd love to hear another song.
Sure. We're going to play Silhouette off of The Study Night as well.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys. We got Redwoods live in the studio with Silhouette. Take it away.
Coming in hot again. My last chip's in the pot again. Anybody got a heart to lend? Cause mine's short on being broken. Just overrule my mind. How could I be a fool this blind? When you choose to ignore the signs, it's only a matter of time. Ooh, oh, ooh, oh. Ooh, oh, ooh, oh. I guess it wasn't in my head when I felt the distance spread. What I meant wasn't what I said. What I wrote wasn't what you read. You're in my arms today, but tomorrow you run away. Did you really ever wanna stay? That's a question I don't wanna face. You're more than a little bear. You're more than I ever told you. You're more than a silhouette. You're more than a little bit. You're more than I ever told you. You're more than a silhouette. You're more than. The candles start flickering. The tears stop trickling. The dust has settled in. How come you're still under my skin? Looking at the city lights, I'm reminiscing every night. Now I'm missing every single fight. At least you were in my life. Ooh, oh, ooh, oh. Ooh, oh. More than a little bit. You're You're more than a silhouette. You're more than I ever told you. And I wish I could just forget. But you're more, more than a little bit. You're more than I ever told you. You're more than a silhouette. You're more, more than a little bit. You're more than I ever told you. And I wish I could just forget. But you're more than, you're more than everything. Yeah.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
That was Redwoods live in the studio with Silhouette, another cut off of their latest EP, Study Night, available now on Spotify, Apple Music, and wherever else you stream your music. What to you guys is unique about the Vancouver music scene that you won't find elsewhere?
That's a tough one. I know, like, the kind of the metal scene is really good here. Yeah, but I don't know.
Well, I think just like the uniqueness of, like, there's so many different genres in Vancouver. I think other places that you go, it'll kind of be suited towards kind of more genres. But in Vancouver, it's just there's so much of everything. There's like so many different subgenres and like different types of shows that you can go to. It's like all here, I think.
I don't know. I think that Vancouver's cliquey, so if you can get in with the cliques, you're good. But if you're not in with the cliques, then it's like you got to do some work. And I don't know. I feel like people aren't always so willing to jump on the bandwagon and just come out to live music like maybe they are in like other places. But it's like it's cool because it's growing and like there's more people coming out to shows and kind of realizing like, oh, like live music is cool. Like maybe I do want to come to the next concert. So it's like it's kind of cool just seeing like the community sort of grow as you're like, you know, just playing these shows over like course of 5 years or whatever. So it's like it's definitely like I've seen it grow because like it started out with nothing and now we like almost we can pack a place out. So it's like it's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, we just had Mo from the general manager and owner of the Rickshaw on the program earlier, and one thing that he mentioned, two things I wanted to kind of repeat that he said. One was that in Vancouver, you have almost the luxury / disadvantage of choice in terms of all the different things that you can do. So, you know, live music will always be competing against other stuff, you know, live sports events and the outdoors, especially this time of year. But by the same token, apparently it's scientifically proven that people go to live shows live happier, longer lives. So
I agree. Totally.
I think everyone in this room
will
agree.
That's a great fact. I like that fact.
You're going to live longer. Come out to a Redwood show. You're going to live longer.
Yeah, you start promoting that. You will live longer if you come to my show.
I'll just throw on a lab coat and crappy doctor scrubs. Yeah. Just like, I'm doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Dr. Music. Go see this band.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, because you guys are from North Vancouver, the city's both close but also kind of far from the downtown core. What are some of the unique challenges that come with being a North Vancouver band, and what have you guys done to work around them?
It hasn't been that hard, man. I mean, like, right now most of our fans are from North Van. It's really like a 15-minute cab ride over, but...
Joys of bridges.
Yeah.
Not swimming.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just hard, like, when we want to branch out to, like, more of the smaller places, like the Surrey, Langley, or, you know, those kind of outer areas, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
It's basically, like, we might as well be playing in some small town in Alberta, because no one's going to know us kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
But, like, Vancouver's really easy, like, from North Van, I don't know. Like, we have 95% of our shows are in Vancouver and not North Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think it's the biggest challenge. I love playing shows out in Vancouver. It's just a short jaunt over the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool to play shows in North Van, but it's like huge residential area and like lots of families.
There are
and
places.
Stuff.
Like,
there's places that we could. We played the Two Lions.
Yeah, two Lions
and
the
Narrows,
now called the Maplewood again. There's some cool places.
There is places.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun playing in North Van. You can kind of just walk home, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Stagger home.
Yeah, exactly.
Crawl home.
Yeah.
Because you guys mentioned Surrey, I guess I'll kind of mention or bring this up. Have you, you guys had the chance to play the Flamingo?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
A couple months ago, actually.
Yeah. First.
Cool. Yeah. We played it with the Aviator Shades.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting spot, for sure.
Sound is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely wouldn't want to leave your gear kind of unattended to outside. But
Yeah. It's and cool. Again, you can say that about certain parts of Vancouver, so yeah, it's not
yeah.
just...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All around the board, even North Van, some places.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, gear's expensive. Yeah. Doesn't matter where you leave it outside.
Fair enough.
Don't leave your gear outside, especially not in the rain, kids.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we played a show, one show there. I don't know if we'll plan to be back there or not anytime soon. Yeah, it's a cool spot, though.
Sound is really good.
Yeah. It'd be cool to go back out there. I mean, like, that's the one thing about living in North Van is you kind of just, you live in North Van, so you don't really know people from the city, or you don't know people from, like, branching out to Surrey. Whereas if you were probably in the downtown area, you'd probably just meet people from all around because, like, people are always kind of just, like, you know, coming into the downtown core, right? So
mm-hmm.
that's one challenge, but... I mean, like I said, we're starting to build shows, and it's just like we're meeting people everywhere because we're playing shows down here. So it's just cool.
There you go. Let's see. Oh, what's one thing, or maybe multiple things, that you've learned as a group that you wish you had known before you first began writing music, playing live, etc.? One of those like, oh, man, this would be so much easier if I knew that earlier.
I think, like, maybe realizing that you're going to suck for a bit. Because I think when we were starting out, you kind of have this, like, idea, like, we have to be good, like, blah, blah, blah. But part of the process is kind of just going out there as a band and sucking for, like, a couple of years. And then that's how you realize what you need to do. But I think just, I wish that I didn't worry about that so much in the earlier years. Because it's just about getting up there and just... and just going for it, and
and just to kind of elaborate on that, just really like not being so focused on what you're doing and being so conscious or like self-conscious and just kind of just letting like the music kind of flow through you, and kind of wish I did more of that, but
let's see, I guess when it comes to kind of what you guys have got going on and the amount of shows that you've played, how do you guys properly prep for an upcoming show beyond obviously just practicing?
Oh, I was going to say practice.
Yeah, it's as much as you can, like every night of the week pretty much. Other than practicing, I don't know. Just actually, I watch a lot of live shows as well. Like, I'll watch like a live concert of like some of my favorite artists and just get some more inspiration or ideas.
Yeah, totally. I do that too. I like to just kind of relax on the day of the show. Just kind of get my thoughts together, and then, a couple hours before the show, then you kind of try to get more fired up and stuff like that. But, just being level-headed.
And bringing merch and stuff, and if we don't have any merch, maybe thinking, like, oh, we got a show in a month, we should get some merch ready for that show, or, some, like, download cards or... business cards, even just they're just obviously preparing that goes on behind the scenes, or like submitting our music to like certain like playlists on Spotify and stuff like that. So that, like, it all kind of goes in a like behind the scenes sort of thing. Other than getting ready for shows, it's like you got to push your stuff out there too, right? And be able to spend money on yourself and not just know that it's gonna work out, or at least be able to invest in yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's always the thing, is that a band is a business.
Exactly.
It's a creative venture,
mm-hmm.
which makes it kind of complicated
in
a way.
Fun,
more fun, for sure. Kind of complicates it sometimes, but
mm-hmm.
if you get your wits about you, not too much. Because
mm-hmm.
Devin mentioned, watching some live footage before the day of, or in preparation for a show. What's been some of your go-to or most educational live footage that you've watched? Live shows? Live concerts? concert.
I guess like kind of when I was first learning, like I watched a lot of AC/DC live shows, like just Angus Young, how like he doesn't even talk to the crowd yet he can like take command of like millions of people, or you know. So yeah, a lot of AC/DC and yeah, a lot of like Jimi Hendrix stuff too. He's just gets totally lost in what he's doing, and yeah, it's really inspiring.
Yeah, Flea for me from Chili Peppers. He was the reason I kind of started playing bass, and just the wackiness and craziness of that dude, and whatever it may be, getting completely naked on stage or just fucking, I don't know. He loves it, and he does not care what anybody thinks of him, and that's very inspiring.
Yeah, if I was going to say I had one, it's the obvious one, John Bonham, for every drummer. Yeah, I like watching him and seeing what he did, and just like you could always tell that guy was just like 100% zeroed in on what he was playing. Like the passion was just flowing through his body. Mm-hmm. Just like he was a human metronome. So it's just yeah, inspiring.
What are your thoughts on Keith Moon though? Because Keith Moon, I always found is a little bit more visually engaging. Don't get me wrong, Bonham is Bonham.
No, I know. I was a big Leadhead growing up, and I didn't see much of the Who. Like I heard their songs, and I always heard him playing the drums, and like wow, I was like you know blown away. But I never really got into him like I did with John Bonham.
Mm.
It's just I don't know. I'd seen videos of Keith Moon like. You know, he was flamboyant and
doing
just like
the noodle arms.
He was crazy. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, he was definitely a showman, and like I can't take anything away from him. Like, rest in peace to both of them. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I always find, I guess, for my money, Neil Peart's kind of his own little category. But in terms of like,
oh yeah, definitely the another one right there.
The classic rock, like, foundational drummers for me, it's like Bonham first, and it's kind of a tie for me between Keith Moon and Mitch Mitchell.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, Mitch Mitchell, man, another great drummer, Jimmy's drummer.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah. No, like, I've watched them all and inspired by all of them on different levels, and yeah, they're just all really good, and I want to be like that one day, so, you know.
What about Ginger Baker, though?
Oh, have you seen the documentary?
No.
Oh, man, I think it's still on Netflix. It's called Beware Mr.
I'm
Baker.
I'm watching that tonight.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. I'll give a quick little rundown. So this is crotchety old Ginger Baker.
Yeah.
This documentary was shot on his ranch that he lives on in South Africa, because he just lives in Africa now. And, you know, crotchety old man Ginger Baker got into a fight that they filmed with the documentarian. Because they did the entire interview, and then they're like, oh, thanks, Ginger, we're going to go get the rest of the footage. He's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, we're going to, you know, talk to other people that, you know, were in your band and whatever. It's like, what? I didn't approve of that. And, like, whacks him with his cane and chases him off his ranch.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's, a bit of a loose cannon, for sure.
Certainly a unique character. But, yeah, highly recommended.
Nice.
Yeah, is he still kicking around? I know Jack Bruce passed away.
I think he's alive. I
think so.
Pretty sure he is.
If I had my phone on me, I'd confirm. I think Ginger Baker's still around. I think. Anyhow. Yeah, Ginger Baker, another one of the greats for sure. Let's see. I guess in general, what can people expect from a Redwood show when they buy that ticket? Ooh, I don't know what to expect.
Lots of sweat. High energy. We just like to party when we play. I mean, we like to get people out and just have a really good time. It's definitely not a tame show. We don't play like crazy, crazy loud, but like we're a pretty loud rock band, and we like to get people partying and jumping and sweating with us.
Yeah. Exactly.
Lots of sweat.
Lots and lots of sweat, and like most times my
buckets.
Shirt comes off these days. So
there you go.
Yeah, and like I let the hair loose and everything. I get into it, so it's like it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun up there.
I just thought Biffy Clyro and Chili's were on to something. Well, and Jane's Addiction, I guess, as well. They usually played shirtless.
Yeah.
They usually do. So.
Somebody's got to do it.
For some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess if you look like Dave Navarro.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Let's see. Actually, Perry Farrell's pretty ripped as well. He's like my dad's age. I'm like, what the hell? let's see. What has been your most memorable show to date?
Oh, man. I really liked the Cobalt show.
Who'd you play with?
We played with a band called The Damn Truth. They were touring from Montreal, actually.
And 9 O'Clock Gun.
Yeah, and 9 O'Clock Gun, another local band, rad rock band. Yeah, check them
sick.
Out.
They're sick.
9 O'Clock Gun.
Really like
but yeah, it was 3 bands on the bill, and the Cobalt was right about to close at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, it was cool to get a show in there before it closed. Just that for me, and we had a big crowd out that night, and it was a really, really fun night.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm trying to think. I guess we actually played the Rickshaw about a year ago, and it was like a Wednesday night, there really wasn't many people there, but it's just such a sick stage, mm-hmm. and they had smoke machines going, and the sound was incredible.
Incredible sound.
And not a lot of people came out, but it was a really fun show.
Yeah, I didn't think of that one. That one's up there too. The Rickshaw is really fun to play.
Yeah, I don't know, I think they got it. Is there another really awesome show we played?
Yeah, there are, but...
Well, that Roxy show we had, what was it? With the Aviator Shades, the last time we played with the Aviator Shades. That was a really good show. I really like playing with the Aviator Shades. They're really good guys,
yeah,
too.
They're also a rad Vancouver band. Check them out.
Check them out, yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Good stuff. Let's see. What bands and artists have you been listening to lately? Who's on your playlists?
I've been going through a really big Rival Sons phase. I don't know if you guys listen to them at all. Their bassist, Robin Everhart, I really love his playing. Yeah, they're such a raw rock band. They kind of get compared to Zeppelin a lot.
Yeah, I understand they kind of changed up their sound a bit, and they kind of sound more like the Doors now.
Yeah, they're very interesting. A lot of their music is very just kind of straight ahead rock, but. Listen to it's a live version of Jordan. I don't know if you've heard that song. What live show is it on? I can't remember, but they do a live version of a song called Jordan, and it's really beautiful. They all acoustic, upright bass, slide acoustic guitar. That's kind of their more mysterious, kind of majestic side. I guess. But yeah, I've been on them lately a lot.
For me, I've been super into as far as rock goes, just the drummer, bass player kind of duo, Royal Blood or Death from Above. Just it always blows me away how just two guys can just have so much power in their sound.
Have you listened to Lightning Bolt?
I've heard of them. I honestly haven't dug into them, though.
So they're a lot noisier, but they are insane. I'd recommend, I think it's available in multiple parts because someone uploaded it to YouTube. They have a concert movie called The Power of Salad and Milkshakes. And just watch the first clip of them playing a song in a tiny, tiny art space somewhere in the States. It's bonkers. I remember showing it to my buddy Mike, who plays in the band Bicycle Gypsies, who you guys totally need to play a show with.
Cool.
And he was like, were these guys in an insane asylum? This is insane.
Yeah.
So it's just super... The vocalist, I guess, quote-unquote, is also the drummer, Brian Chippendale, and he's nuts. He has some sort of gas mask apparatus that he just kind of screams into while he's bashing away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scary.
Lightning bolts.
Yeah, check it out.
Will do.
Cool.
I don't know. Maybe a year ago I got into The Neighborhood, or a couple years ago. The Neighborhood's pretty cool. Who else? What's that band called? They do... I'm blanking right now on that band's name. But they're a newer band, too, and they're I think they're... Yeah. Oh, I can't...
Rock, or...?
Yeah, they're... what song do they do? Okay, yeah, I can't... Maybe it'll come to me, but yeah, for now I can't think of it. But I listen to a lot of hip-hop, too, so it's... I've been just listening to a lot of different types of music.
Was The Neighborhood that sweater song band?
Yeah, that's The Neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's
the band.
They're sick. I like, they kind of
cool.
Almost a hip hop rocky sort of vibe, which I really dig. And so, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Like Devin said, I listen to a lot of Royal Blood too, and they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
Really like them. And yeah, that's all I can really think of right now. Maybe I'll think of that band. I will. I just got to think. What was their name?
probably just as we go off the air.
Yeah.
Kind of switching gears a bit, but still talking about bands. Are there any bands or artists that you'd recommend we bring on the show?
9 o'clock Gun.
Noted.
Yeah, they're really cool. That's who I'd recommend.
Yeah, Aviator Shades too. If you haven't already had the Aviator Shades, they'd be cool too.
Is Daniel James still playing with them?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he does his own side thing called
Brass Camel.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been out to one of those shows yet.
Oh, but dude, got to! Yeah. Holy crap!
I hear they're fun.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
they did. If you're familiar with the instrumental track by Rush, they did a medley with Villa Stragiato.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not YYZ, one of the other instrumental track. Oh, that's, yeah.
That's cool. Like, okay. And yeah. He's got, like, the whole 9-piece, 10-piece band going with him, too.
Oh, yeah, it's nuts. He ended with a little help from my friends, and he had, like, audience members up on stage, like, singing with him.
Nice. It was that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll get out to one of those soon. Yeah, get them on the show, too, for sure.
Do a double header.
Yeah, totally, man. There's so many good rock bands in Vancouver. A lot of them just...
Barefoot Mountain too. That's pretty cool.
Barefoot Mountain. They're in the Battle of the Bands thing with us in 2016.
I think they got a show coming up this week.
Yes,
as well.
I believe it is this weekend at the Railway, Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. Yeah, go see Barefoot Mountain. They're awesome.
Another band would be Chase the Bear too. Chase the Bear's sick.
They've already been on here.
They have been on here.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm good friends with Connor.
Nice. Oh, the drummer, yeah. He's a good guy. I like Connor.
Awesome. Good dude.
Solid.
Love you, Connor.
Troy is the lead singer, right?
Yes, yeah. We had Troy and Connor on the
Forgot
on
the other dude's names. We played a show with them at the V-Lounge in Victoria in April, I think it was.
Yeah, you guys are like a perfect match for a bill, I'd say.
Yeah, really, really fun time with those guys.
Great.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to drop some recorded music because that's the one thing they're missing.
Yeah,
really? They got everything else down, but they don't have any recordings out yet.
My God.
Like, Connor, get on this.
Get on.
Well, they are, all of them are living in Vancouver now. I think that was partly the problem.
Yeah.
But they're gonna do great things. I think they're a talented band.
They're gonna go far.
Oh, for sure. How can listeners check out your music and keep up to date with everything Redwoods is up to?
We're on like all social media, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud.
Our website as well, it's redwoodsvancouver.com.
Yeah.
It's got pretty much everything
We're everywhere, man. Just follow all our stuff, like our page, Facebook page. And
there's no the when you're searching, it's just Redwoods.
Redwoods. Search
Redwoods.
Redwoods Vancouver and we'll show up.
Yeah.
And finally, even though we've alluded to it multiple times over the course of this program, when is your next show?
July 28th at the Roxy with Aviator Shades.
Good stuff.
Sorry, I remember that band. Just got to say it. The Beaches. Check out the
beaches. I freaking love the Beaches.
Is that the girl group?
Yeah, that's Toronto. Dude,
they're amazing,
Toronto.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I think they just played Venue a month or so ago.
I wanted to go to that. I couldn't make it, but yeah, they're really cool.
Good stuff. Love it, guys. Thank you so much. Before, I guess we go into the intro, Travis, do we got time for one more acoustic number?
We can do that, but then we got to skip the pre-recorded.
Okay, I'll give the band the option.
We only prepared two.
Oh, okay. Well, that answers that. All right. So at the very least, we'll be hearing another studio track from
Redwoods. Very soon.
Thank you so much,
guys. Thank you very much,
guys. Thank you, guys.
This was awesome.
All right.
Thank you. How you doing?
Thanks for listening.
Jenny,
we're your hosts.
And Jayden, how are you?
Hey.
Thanks for watching.
Hey, I'm talking here. Thanks for listening. We're your hosts, James Olson.
And Travis Noel.
Pacific Sound Radio is produced by Jane Fraze.
You can check us out on the internet. We've got Facebook, Pacific Sound Radio, Instagram at Pacific Sound Radio, Twitter at Pacific S Radio, as well as our YouTube, Pacific Sound Media, and our website, PacificSoundRadio.com.
If you know a local band or artist that you think should appear as guests on our show, let us know. Fill out the form on our website or send us an email to talkpsr@gmail.com. As always, we are live on the air every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. only on Save On Radio. Finally, on July 28th, you know what's going down. It's the inaugural Pacific Sound Radio Presents Showcase. Need to pare down that title a bit. Featuring 2017's CBC Searchlight Competition winners, The Long War.
They're so good.
They are so good. They're fantastic. We just saw them on Friday. Co-headlining the evening is the incredibly talented Jasper Sloan. Yep.
They're so good.
Thank you, Travis, who we just saw at Catalano with opening acts Old Soul Rebel and Year of the Wolf.
They're also so good.
Tickets are available online at ticketfly.com. Physical copies are available at Red Cat Records. Be there. It's going to be an unforgettable night. Now, before we go, we're going to leave you with one last song by Redwoods. This is the studio version of Silhouette. Have a good night, everybody.
Coming in hot again. My last chip's in the pot again. Anybody got a heart to lend? 'Cause mine's sure to be broken. My heart's overruled my mind. How could it be a fool this blind? When you choose to ignore the signs, it's only a matter of time. Ooh. Ooh. I guess it wasn't in my head when I felt the distance spread. What I meant wasn't what I said. What I wrote wasn't what you read. You're in my arms today, but tomorrow you run. The storm clouds settle.